Is there anyone here in the audience this morning who is suffering physically in some part of your body? What a dumb question. Especially among the older people. And as I looked over at our beloved David Sproul and his lovely bride, and as I glanced that direction and I saw their hands clasped together, I thought how wonderful it is that we know our Jesus. Is there anyone here that in your lifetime you have been suffering trials and tribulations of some kind? In your life. I hope and pray this morning as we break the bread of life, it will be of great comfort to you. I love the way the Bible, in more ways than I can introduce, in a moment, our Jesus. And when I think of our Lord and our Savior, I think of the many ways the Bible from Genesis to Revelation will describe who He is. I love the Rose of Sharon. And I love the Lily of the Valley. And I love the way that our Jesus is described upon nearly every page of the Word of God. For those that may be suffering physically or mentally, for those that may be facing many trials and tribulations, someday it will all be over because we know our Jesus. But He is not only described as the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley, one that is not used so often. He is the Anointed One. And when that Anointed One would come into this world, He would introduce Himself as the Anointed One. And when He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up in this life on this earth, and as it was His custom, He would go in the Jewish synagogue. I wished I could have been there that day to see our Jesus. And what an occasion for Him to be in this group of people that would study the Word of God. And as it was the custom for someone in the synagogue to stand up and read, maybe appointed, maybe just spontaneous. I know one thing, the Anointed One stood up that day. And He introduced Himself to the audience as the Anointed One of God, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. But more than that, in verse 18, He would duplicate the passage in Isaiah 61 in verse 1 to 3, where He was introduced by Isaiah as the Anointed One that would bring glad tidings. But here it is called the Gospel. In either word in English, the Fijians would say the Tukatuka Vanaka Kakoamunda. Translated, the glad tidings, the good news. I'm glad that many of us, we know our Jesus. And as we get older in age and as we face many more trials and tribulations, how wonderful and rewarding it is to personally know our Jesus. Our song leader may have not known what a step it would be to me to use what he sang. But I believe that only those who really know Jesus as their Savior, their Lord, the ruler and the master of their lives, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, are they able to face all the hardships of life? Whether it be physical things or mental things, or whether it's just trials and tribulations of different things. As most of you know, our daughter Maria, faithful Christian woman, and one that has suffered very badly 365 days out of the year, 24 hours a day with the most excruciating migraines a team of doctors had ever witnessed at the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville. And sometimes I am nearly moved beyond what I can control when I hear her crying out for Jesus to come quickly for her. And when I hear her cry out in all the physical agony and pain, and I walk to the door and she somehow manages to smile, and she manages to say, "Dad, Jesus is my Jesus, and he is what I'm able to turn to in time of need." When this anointed one would come, that anointed one said in Isaiah disclosed to them and said that he would heal the brokenhearted. Have you ever been brokenhearted? I don't mean with puppy love when you're a teenager and your boyfriend or girlfriend said, "That's it. I don't care about you any longer." I'm not talking about that, but you are really brokenhearted because of maybe physical pain or mental anguish or trials and tribulations that just mount up, and you think there is no hope for me, there is no future, that there is nothing for me in life. Oh me. The Anointed One desires to be in your life through His Word. And He desires to be your Lord and your Savior, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. And He desires to heal your broken heart, your broken heart. In Psalms 147 and verse number 3, not only would Isaiah say that he heals the brokenhearted, but the beautiful psalmist David says, "He heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds." I cannot help but think of that man that was left in Jericho on that road, and in that lonely place, and seemingly no one loved him or cared about him. But there was that Samaritan that would reach out. He'd reach out for Jesus. And he would be able to show the beauty of Jesus to that man who had been physically wounded and was left for dead. Jesus desires, through His glad tidings, through His gospel, He desires to take us and to just bind up all of our wounds. Our Maria, last week, who has those migraines and has had for over 16 years, she called to the mother and I across the house. I knew immediately something was wrong. You can know when something is wrong with your children. Mary and I jumped out of the bed, and I can't jump out of the bed any longer. I roll out and stand on my feet, but that day I did not hesitate that night. When we reached Maria in her bedroom, her apartment of our house, her eyeball was laying on her cheek. And I said, "Oh God, please help." And immediately, Mary said, "Robert, call her doctor." And we called him. He answered, thank the Lord, in the night. And he said, "Here's what you need to do." We did it, and the eyeball receded back into the socket. I thought, Mary and I are only the servants by which Jesus acts through us and binds up these wounds. We know the tenderness of that. When we are a husband and wife and we still have each other and we're suffering physically or mentally or some way in life, spiritually, and we have our partner in life. You know what we do, don't you? We turn to them, am I right? We hold their hand and we show the love of Jesus to them. In Acts chapter 28 and verse number 27, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull," not everybody, but generally speaking. Their ears are hard of hearing and their eyes are closed, lest they can see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and repent so that I should heal them. You know, when the Anointed One came, He brought the glad tidings. He brought the good news of how that He, through His glad tidings, His good news, His gospel, He would be able to heal the brokenhearted. And then secondly, when the Anointed One came, Isaiah spoke of it, He came and He proclaimed it, that He would give liberty to those in captivity. You know, we all face captivity of some description. It may be physical, it may be mental, it may be spiritual, but the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the Anointed One of God, through His glad tidings, He is able to give us that freedom. And every time I think of that, I cannot help but think of John 8, 31 and 32. When Jesus, the Anointed One, came, He said to those Jews who believed Him, "If you abide in my word, then you're my disciples. Really, you're my disciples. And you shall know the truth. You shall know the glad tidings, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can know the gospel that I bring. And it will make you free." Thank God that through the Anointed One, any captivity in our lives, our Lord and our Savior, our Jesus, can give us that freedom through His gospel. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul would write these beloved brethren that he had been a part of their lives and he had shown the love of Jesus to them, the Anointed One, the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon. He would write them this epistle. I would have liked to have been in Galatia. I would have liked to have been in one of those churches in that region and to receive this epistle and to be reminded again of how that the glad tidings, how that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one and only true gospel, could make me free. Paul wrote and said, "Stand fast." They had a problem with this, like many of us do in our lives. And if we live long enough, if we haven't had it, we're probably going to have it. We're going to have struggles with our lives. I'm always thankful to God for those brethren that reached out in a very loving and tender way to me. And I thank God for a spouse, a partner in life who never forsook me in those early years. And I'm thankful to God for those elders that would minister to me and to show me the love of Jesus, who would show me the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley, the anointed one of God, and to really begin to show to me the gospel of Jesus Christ that could really make me free. Stand fast, therefore. Those Galatian churches are reminded in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Young people, kick the habit while you're young. While you're young and so tender and such just beautiful people, kick that. Let go of it. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in your lives. And then thirdly, Isaiah and Jesus himself. As Jesus came on the scene, he would say that as the anointed one of God and the glad tidings of the gospel that I am bringing to you, accept it and don't reject it. And if you will accept it, I will comfort you with that glad tidings. With that gospel, I will comfort you. And you know, this also used in that passage in Isaiah 61. And verse number 2 is not only the word comfort, but in the preceding verse, it carries with it the idea of consoling. Like a mother would take a child that is hurting and with such tender love minister to that child. Yes, the God of all comfort will bless us in so many ways. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse number 3, or really 3-5. What a beautiful passage this is. And anymore, for a number of years now, I've thought about Mary every time. Forgive me, but it's an example that I know. And I remember when Steve, the cancer was growing in his brain, and he could no longer use the parts of his body. What a loving mother she was to him. And how that when he lost all body functions of his human body, she would change what she needed to change so beautifully and tenderly. And one day I said to her, "Mary, why do you do it?" She said, "Because he's still our little baby. And I know that Jesus loves us and loves him." From that time, I saw a difference in Mary. A difference that I had never seen before. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and God of all comfort. Isn't it wonderful? Don't you love it? He's able to take you and comfort you, console you, and just cuddle you through the power of his gospel, the glad tidings. Paul would continue to write, "Who comforts us in all our tribulations." I love the word "all" in these verses. The God of all comfort or consoling. The God of all of these troubles we face. And the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. You know, these verses tell us something. These verses tell us that we are comforted, that God says, so that you can comfort others. God's not just comforting you without knowing that you owe it to others to pass it on to them. A mother or a father or a husband or a wife, watch one of them or a child, watch them be suffering physically or mentally, and how that they will turn and comfort others. They want the beauty of Jesus to be seen in their lives. You know, Paul would write to the brethren in Thessalonica, the church, the body of Christ. And I love that phrase, the body of Christ, a whole lot. Because it really is typical of, to a greater degree than our physical body. Have you ever smashed your finger with a hammer? Or caught it in a door, and immediately the other hand goes. It doesn't say, you sorry thing, you ought not to get caught. Am I right? It doesn't. But the other part of the body, and you ever seen anybody do this? You may think, how silly, and that's nasty. No, it's not. The other parts of the body are responding to that part that hurts. The Thessalonians understood this. And Paul said, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another. What a wonderful occasion we have on this morning. I thought about, oh my Lord, we have come into your presence this morning. I tell you this morning, we are in his presence right now before his throne. I thank God for the God of all comfort. And how that he consoled. As Mary and I have gotten older, now young people, I didn't say we're old, okay? I did not say we were old, but as we have gotten older, and sometime when I go around and open the door, she said, you lost your life's mind? I can open the door. I said, no, you can. But I want to follow in the steps of my dad, who at 90 years old was still opening the door for my mother. Sometimes when I take her by the hand and look into those green eyes, I think to myself, and I don't say a word to her, if you ever get where your mind will not operate any longer, I'm thinking it in my mind, I'll take you and I'll walk you and I will sleep by your side and I will dress you and I will take care of you to the end of your life. You know why? Because what a great example she was of Jesus. As we took care of our son Steve, when he was no longer able to take care of himself, the God of all comfort and the one that takes us and through his glad tidings, his good news, He more than just comfort, he consoles us. And then another thing that anointed one of God brought was to give them beauty. To give them beauty. You know, I've always thought, in spite of what all the others think, I've always thought I'm a pretty good looking man. I'm handsome. Don't you think that? If you don't, there's something wrong with you. And I don't mean that vainly. I know that I'm going to be as beautiful as I can get, and that's it. But I also know that it is more than just human beauty. And I'm reminded of that in Romans 10 and verse number 15. In Romans 10 and verse number 15. And you know, I thought about that. David, I thought about it for so many years. And I thought about what it's saying, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet. You ever thought how beautiful feet are? I would say if we had time, everybody take off their shoes and take off their socks if it's covered their feet. Do you know anything beautiful about toes and toenails? And feet, I mean, think about it. Physically, is there anything beautiful? Is there? No. God created it. And those feet are as beautiful as they're going to get physically. But wait a minute. There's more to this than that. Watch it. How beautiful are the feet of those who make a proclamation of the gospel of peace. Isn't that beautiful? And who bring glad tidings of good things. You know why we've got beautiful feet? Because we bring glad tidings. We bring the gospel of peace. We bring good things to others in their lives. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, Paul would write, therefore, and Paul is saying, in view of what I've just been saying in the previous verses, if anyone is in Christ, are you in Christ this morning? In Galatians 3 and verse 27, Paul would write, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Oh, then you have the beauty of Jesus. Then you have the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the anointed one of God. And you have everything becomes new and good. And now you have the peace that passes all understanding. Listen to me carefully if you're under the sound of my voice this morning. Don't leave this building if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Do not leave this building this morning without being buried with Christ in baptism. In Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those that were saved. You know, when we do, others see the beauty of Jesus in us. They see the rose of Sharon. They see the lily of the valley. And they see the anointed one through his gospel in our lives. All things become new. As I end the lesson this morning, I would end it that Jesus is that balm in Gilead. He is the one that can heal our sin-sick soul. He is the one that can make the wounded whole. If you've been wounded by Satan and knocked down and run over, if you have lost really what it takes to be a faithful Christian, won't you respond to the gospel this morning? Won't you put on Jesus in baptism? Won't you repent of any sin in your life and let the anointed one make you whole? While together we stand and sing.